Red Line.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and its weekend program The Red Line with me, Sergei Strokin. Welcome to today's program, and this is what we want to highlight as the news breaking stories of the week. Ufa, new center of the multipolar world. Leaders of major non-Western powers met at the two back-to-back summits in the Russian city of Ufa to make their voice in global politics more loud and distinct. Vienna talks. Taming Iranian atom. Iran and six world powers made last-ditch efforts to strike a historic deal on Tehran's controversial nuclear program, which would hopefully resolve one of the major security crises of today. And also, Alexis Tsipras, Greek colossus battling European dwarves. The results of the Greek referendum on EU austerity measures came as a moment of truth for country's unruffled Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras. So let us come to our first section, Beyond the Headlines, to address the event which was grabbing headlines throughout the week. Russia's heartland city of Ufa hosted the unprecedented marathon of high international diplomacy, which kickstarted with the BRICS Forum, which is the summit of the leaders of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The Ufa summit with Russia and its chair proved that BRICS is shaping up as a viable alternative to the Group of Seven, which is embracing major industrialized economies of the West. And I think that by no means with all skepticism and cynicism, it can be seen as a paper architecture as it was initially described by the West. And in another development, BRICS summit has set the stage for another meeting, a high-profile meeting held this week in Ufa. This is the meeting of the leaders of Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which was also seen as another proof that the center of world politics is constantly shifting from the West to the East. And to discuss this in more details, let me just invite for the discussion our studio guests, Vladimir Sotnikov, director of the East-West Strategic Studies Center, Moscow-based independent think tank, and Gleb Ivashentsev, a member of Russia's Council for International Relations and Russia's former ambassador to Myanmar and South Korea. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. So, Mr. Ivashentsev, let me start with you. You is a seasoned diplomat, so that's a really marathon of international diplomacy. But do you see that really this is not just a sort of an array of photo opportunities, but some fundamental shift in changing the architecture of global politics?
I think we should take some time to give the full assessment of the event.
Till the dust settles, yeah?
But one thing is quite clear. Both BRICS summit and Shanghai Cooperation Organization summits, they are very important events in the international affairs, which will affect both global economic and political developments.
Can you just please explain in more detail?
See,
when you say important.
If we take BRICS, this forum unites five important global powers of four continents, which produce 30% of global GDP. And the position of these five powers on the major economic issues of the world is very important for the global development.
Mr. Ivashentsev, I think this is not only the matter of the potential, but this is also the matter of the vision. And now I want to ask Mr. Sotnikov. I see that he has already prepared some note listening to Mr. Ivashentsev. So if we look at the concept, Mr. Sotnikov, the agenda of BRICS Forum was coined as BRICS partnership, a powerful factor for global development. So as you see, the emphasis is made on BRICS growing ambitions and responsibilities also. Responsibility is a key word here. And other thing is that it was not, you see, political charge. We've not seen any, well, heated rhetoric, anti-Western rhetoric. We have seen very down-to-earth groundwork, which was just aiming to not to politicize international relations, not to being dragged into a war of sanctions, but to work out coherent strategy of global development. So what's
your
take on that?
Thank you. I think that the timing for conducting this BRICS summit, as well as the SCO summit, consequentially after the BRICS summit, is perfect because, you know, we are on the verge of turning, to my mind, into the new era of international relations. The domination which we have...
You mean Bretton Woods system?
Yeah, yeah, Bretton Woods system, yes, economic-wise, yeah, that the domination of Bretton Woods system is probably far behind. And economically speaking, the BRICS countries could actually shape a new global financial system. A new global financial system, just a moment.
Yeah.
And politically wise, I think that this is not like a contradictory organization to the Western European Council or, well, NATO countries or some other Western-dominated partnership. This is just to show that the Eastern countries, together with China and Russia and India, are going to shape a new agenda for the world.
Red Line.
For more on that, now we have our guest from New Delhi, Manish Chand, who is the editor-in-chief of India Rights Network. One of the major outcomes probably was this unveiling the idea and spelling out the idea of BRICS National Development Bank. How is it seen in India?
Right.
Yeah, to what extent it can just accelerate the development and so as a sort of crisis proof structure.
Right. You know, the formal launch of the New Development Bank is a milestone of sorts in recasting global financial architecture and global development finance landscape. You know, for India especially, it's a big moment because this idea germinated in the New Delhi summit in 2012. And from then onward, the journey has been a steady progression. Now, a country like India, which needs trillions of dollars in investment to bolster infrastructure and a large, you know, area of the developing world. So this bank is to fill this gap because the Bretton Woods institutions terms and conditions, what you call the Washington condition for lending, was not exactly compatible with the needs of developing countries. So now finally we have the multilateral bank of the developing South. So I mean the infrastructure gap in the developing world needs to be bridged urgently, and this bank will be a big help in that direction.
Yeah, and probably this is another proof that that BRICS as a loosely modeled alliance can be not seen as just, well, paper tiger.
Yes, absolutely, and this is a point I want to make, that, you know, if you go back, this summit is being held in Russia. It all started in 2009 in Ekaterinburg, where the BRICS was seen as some sort of cribs club. By that I mean, you know, that you're basically railing against the existing world order as seen as a paper tiger or a talk show. But now the BRICS has proved that, you know, it can walk the talk and match, you know, all the grand sounding talk with creation of solid, robust institutions, which can make a big difference in the world we live in. So I think it's a major milestone, you know, these institutions, creation of these institutions. And also in this context, I'd like to mention some of the ideas proposed by our Prime Minister, India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi, in what he called the 10-point formula, Das Kadam, where he speaks about the setting up of a BRICS sports council, holding up a BRICS annual business fair. So, you know, BRICS is moving from, you know, the declaratory stage, it has already moved to a very action-oriented agenda, which can only create a lot of traction in the solidarity among developing countries and make a tangible impact on the lives of the people in the developing South.
Manish, please stay with us, but now we have another guest from New Delhi, Rajiv Sharma, independent geopolitical analyst.
Red Line.
Rajiv, thanks for coming on Red Line. You've heard what Manish now said. So what's your take on this BRICS National Development Bank, which was unveiled, and the idea of that currency pool reserve? So how it is really shaping up?
Well, I'm afraid I'm not in a position to agree with my learned friends, you know, enthusiasm overall on BRICS. While the New Development Bank as such is a very positive move and a good initiative, which I believe has finally become operational, you know, technically it has been set up. But if one talks about the BRICS grouping overall, I'm afraid I believe that India did not achieve much in this summit, particularly from the political point of view. Now, let me give you an example on the terror issue. As you know, that China protected Pakistan recently before a UN committee and put spanner in India's works in seeking action against Pakistan for releasing 2611 mastermind Zaki Ur Rahman Naqvi. But in the BRICS summit, in the BRICS declaration, it has completely bypassed the UN resolution number 1267, which was the cornerstone for India in seeking action against Pakistan. The BRICS declaration in clause 36 mentions several UN resolutions, but no reference to 1267. So obviously, China is once again has come to the fore for protecting its all-weather ally and friend, Pakistan. But having said that, while I do say that politically, BRICS continues to be a disparate body of member states having diverse and divergent viewpoints politically, I believe that BRICS at the same time is an important institution. And the very fact that in the seventh summit, which ended yesterday in Ufa, Russia, it has further cemented its position among various global platforms. But I would say the immediate benefits of BRICS grouping would flow on economic front, on developmental front. And even if that were to happen, I would say that would be a very happy and very welcome outcome of the grouping.
Mr. Iwashenko, so you had two opinions from our Indian guests. So they used to disagree with one another. So where are you in this dispute, actually? So do you buy this criticism which comes from Rajiv Sharma, or things are not done overnight, so it's quite obvious that, everything is imperfect and there are problems, obviously, but BRICS is making a leap forward, so?
I do not think that BRICS countries should adopt a similar line on all international developments.
Yeah, that's a diversity, yeah.
What is the most important thing? The most important thing is to coin joint position on major issue. And from that joint position of major issues, we could move step by step to cooperation and interaction on minor issues as well.
Absolutely. Just and 30 seconds, so one brief question to Mr. Sotnikov, because we will not discuss this the major outcome of Shanghai Cooperation Summit, which was the setting the stage for India and Pakistan full membership. So to what extent it changes what was initially seen as Shanghai 5, Mr. Sotnikov? 30 seconds.
Well, actually, I think that initially, by India and Pakistan joining the SCO will put this international organization, one on the most influential organization, by the way, in the world, to new heights, actually. So the regions of responsibility will be not only the Central Asia or the territory of China and Russia. It will be including, again, the South Asian territory and even the Near East, because Pakistan could be regarded as belonging to South Asia as well as to Near East. So I think that is the major step of strengthening the potential of Shanghai Cooperation Organization.
Absolutely. So, unfortunately, we are running out of time, but I think we will just get back to those issues in our next programs of Redline. And now let me thank all our guests, our studio guests, Gleb Iwashenko, member of Russian Council for International Relations and former Russia's ambassador to Myanmar and South Korea, Vladimir Sotnikov, director of East-West Strategic Studies Center, Moscow-based independent think tank, Manish Chand, editor-in-chief of Indian Riot Network, and Rajiv Sharma, independent geopolitical analyst. Following our program, Vienna Talks, Taming Iranian Atom, and also Greek Colossus Crushing European Dwarves. Stay with us.